Washington Week. I'm Neil Strauser, CBS News, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. This was a week full of memories of the Washington Week of a year ago that began with the smoking gun, disclosure of the tape which showed President Nixon had played an early role in the Watergate cover-up, and which led to a historic change of presidency in midterm.
I shall resign the presidency effective at noon tomorrow. Vice President Ford will be sworn in as president at that hour in this office.
I, Gerald R. Ford, do solemnly swear
that I will faithfully execute
the
office of President of the United States.
Nearly 15 hours elapsed between the resignation announcement and Gerald Ford's assumption of the task of reuniting a Watergate-haunted nation.
My fellow Americans, our long national nightmare is over. Our Constitution works. Our great republic is a government of laws and not of men. Here, the people rule.
Now, a year later, the Watergate past is largely behind us. This week, President Ford set new goals.
The Ford administration is going to be known, in my judgment, for a successful implementation of economic policy that'll provide jobs in the private sector in the long run. And in foreign policy, will expand our efforts for peace throughout the world.
More on the Ford presidency when the Washington Week continues.
You could be a winner in the exciting new contest from CBS Radio Mystery Theater. And what do you win? You may win one of 16 all-expense-paid weeks in Walt Disney World near Orlando, Florida. 7 days and six nights of luxurious accommodations, all meals, free tickets to all the attractions in the Magic Kingdom, including Disney's spectacular bicentennial celebration, America on Parade. Plus swimming, golf, tennis, and much more in the vacation kingdom of the world. Learn how to enter during our Mystery Theater broadcast each day on this station. Winners will be selected in weekly drawings during August, and each winner takes along three family members or friends, flying first class to Walt Disney World. 400 Mickey Mouse watches will be given away, too. Get in on the fun. Check this station for airtime and get contest rules during CBS Radio Mystery Theater each day on this station. Promotional consideration by Walt Disney World.
From CBS News White House correspondent Phil Jones, an assessment of the first year of the Ford presidency.
Gerald Ford came to power 1 year ago with an immediate mandate to restore respect to the office of the president. Today, he thinks he has been frank and honest, and that whether the people agree with him politically, they have to say that he has restored public confidence. He is convinced that another Watergate could not happen today. But what about the Ford policies? In the area of the economy, the annual inflation rate of 12 to 14% that he inherited has been cut to about 5 or 6% per annum. Employment has increased by 500,000 or so recently, but the unemployment rate still stands at more than 8%. In foreign policy areas, the president has traveled more than 50,000 miles to meet with foreign leaders. He seems more and more comfortable in handling diplomatic business, but he still depends heavily on Secretary of State Henry Kissinger. Politically, Mr. Ford is in trouble with the conservative wing of his own Republican Party. Among other things, they are unhappy with the selection of Rockefeller as vice president. But at year's end, Mr. Ford is considered the leading contender for his party's nomination, and for a man who always said he didn't care about living in the White House, things have certainly changed. Now, in Mr. Ford's words, it's a super place to live. Phil Jones, CBS News at the White House.
This anniversary week began under something of a wet blanket as rain washed out the ceremonies planned for President Ford's return from Europe and an opportunity to stress his foreign policy role. But ironically, the seizure of the U.S. consul and other hostages by Japanese Red Army terrorists in Kuala Lumpur helped point up Mr. Ford's following 2 days of talks with Japan's Prime Minister Miki. The talks, coinciding with the 30th anniversary of the atomic bombing of Hiroshima, served to emphasize the now existing closeness of the two countries and the president's determination to stay in Asia. Thursday, with Secretary of State Kissinger escalating the pace of Mideast negotiations, Mr. Ford told public television interviewers he was increasingly optimistic, but said Israel must be more flexible and Egypt must respond if a dangerous war is to be avoided. Saturday, there was the pleasure of welcoming to the White House the Apollo astronauts, who shook hands with the Russian cosmonauts in space.
The Apollo-Soyuz flight was an encouraging reminder. In an atmosphere of mutual trust and respect, men from different countries and different systems can work together for a common goal with courage, intelligence, and success.
In domestic affairs, clearing his desk of legislation left behind by the Congress, Mr. Ford made a public ceremony of the signing of the extension of the Voting Rights Act and journeyed to the Custis Lee Mansion in Arlington to sign the bill restoring the citizenship of Confederate General Robert E. Lee.
This legislation corrects a 110-year oversight of American history. It is significant that it is signed at this place.
There were problems of the future to be considered. The president's advisors warned of a severe natural gas shortage likely for about 10 states this winter and the prospect of some economic dislocation. The administration was still trying to assess the economic impact if Mr. Ford vetoes the bill extending oil price controls beyond the end of this month. And with the major impact of the Russian grain purchase still to come, the Labor Department reported that rising farm prices had already helped push up wholesale prices last month back to a double-digit inflation rate. On the political side, Mr. Ford could read by week's end that campaign aides to Ronald Reagan were saying that Reagan probably would oppose the president next March in the New Hampshire primary. And the ranks of potential Democratic opponents continued to swell, as Indiana Senator Birch Bayh all but announced for the nomination by saying he was establishing a committee to see if he had enough support around the country.
I've come to the conclusion I would like very much to be president of the United States because, to put it in terms I think a lot of people understand, I'd like to kick a few rear ends and twist a few arms and knock a few heads and get this country turned around and do some things that I think can be done that we're being told by our present leaders can't be done.
Most other senators and congressmen were out of town this week, in this first week of the summer recess. But the intelligence committees of the House and Senate kept on meeting, the House committee trying to add up in public the cost of the intelligence effort, but making little headway. Jed Duval reports.
The committee heard little of substance in its open sessions with reporters, cameras, and microphones present. Most of the witnesses from the CIA, the Justice Department, the National Security Agency said little until spectators had been ushered out, electronic specialists brought in to search the room for possible bugs. The sessions then became executive, in another word, secret. One day in such a session, CIA Director William Colby explained the budgets of the several intelligence elements of the U.S. government. In another, National Security Agency head Lieutenant General Lew Allen evidently assured the members that the telephones of Americans are not being tapped. The New York Democrat who chairs the committee, Otis Pike, indicated he did not believe it, and so was asked if witnesses are under oath.
There are quite a few reasons that witnesses are not placed under oath. We find that a great many of the witnesses whom we have already had have already taken so many oaths that might conflict with our own that I'm not really sure how meaningful their oaths would be.
Otis Pike, who added that he's not certain swearing the witnesses in these intelligence hearings would do any good. Jed Duval, CBS News, Washington.
At the end of this week, the House committee members also left town to join their colleagues in traveling, resting, or trying to get close to their constituents. None perhaps planning to get as close as Democrat Ken Heckler, who spent this week slinging hash in a West Virginia restaurant. And President Ford was also heading for Vail, Colorado. At the end of this Washington week, which was produced by Ellen Wadley, I'm Neil Strausser, CBS News.